So long COVID is what we're talking about here. Given we're only a couple of years into the COVID pandemic, what do we actually know so far about the longer term effects of contracting COVID-19?
Well, we know quite a lot now. I think we're beginning to get a fairly clear picture, although as with everything to do with COVID, it's still quite uncertain. And of course, what will happen in the future remains very uncertain. But what we're seeing in countries like the UK and the US, which have had very big and severe COVID pandemics, we're getting now a pretty clear picture that there are really three things to be worried about long term in terms of the health effects of COVID. The first thing is, if you're very severely ill and you're unfortunate enough to end up in intensive care unit, many people who've been in ICU will develop a condition called post-intensive care syndrome, which is really, reflects the fact that ICU is very traumatic for the body. It does really punishing for people to be in ICU, particularly for a length of time. And this is a kind of set of conditions which can take people many, many months, even years, really, to recover from after ICU. So that's one thing, post-intensive care syndrome. We're also beginning to see, particularly in America, that some evidence that a relatively small group of people, but some people are suffering really quite serious longer-term organ damage, so particularly respiratory and cardiac system damage, some suggestion that there's kidney damage as well in some people, which could really lead to, you know, really long-term illness and impairment. But the biggest problem in terms of numbers is, what we've come to call long COVID, what the WHO calls post-COVID-19 condition, but I think we typically in Australia here, we're calling it long COVID. And this is as you said in your intro, this is a condition with several different symptoms, but typically involving fatigue and shortness of breath and what they call cognitive dysfunction, brain fog, difficulty thinking, etc., as well as a whole range of other different symptoms, which different people get different combinations of. But long COVID seems to affect a lot more people who've had COVID. There is a suggestion that if you've been more severely ill, you're more likely to develop long COVID. But equally, it's really clear that many people who've actually had a very mild initial COVID infection can also go on to develop long COVID. And as we understand it, many people, really quite a high proportion of people, maybe even 25, 30% of people, might have COVID symptoms that go on for many weeks. But once we're moving into long COVID, maybe 2 to 3 months after the initial infection, maybe between about 5% and 13% of people who've had a confirmed COVID infection might be showing long COVID symptoms at 3 months' time. And then most people get better, but worryingly, a small percentage of people, maybe about 1% of COVID cases, might actually still be sick with long COVID symptoms even a year after their initial illness. And obviously, the longer the pandemic goes on, sadly, the better the picture we get of how this is all working.
One of the most obvious questions about long COVID is obviously vaccination. I mean, you know, you can still contract COVID-19 if you are vaccinated, but presumably the symptoms will be a lot less severe. You're less likely to end up in an ICU, as you mentioned there. Can vaccination stop the effects of long COVID?
So that's a great question. And unsurprisingly, a lot of people are working on that. I would say straight away, my team is not directly working on that question, but we've reviewed quite a bit of that literature for the modelling that we had done in our research. Really important to remember that even though these vaccines are certainly not 100% effective at preventing COVID infection in the first place, they still do provide some protection against COVID infection, and they'll stop you getting severely ill. And as I say, I think if you're less likely to get severely ill, you probably are less likely to then develop long COVID. So that's one level of protection. But then, if you are vaccinated, but you've still become infected with COVID-19, there is conflicting evidence let's say, about whether that vaccination will reduce your likelihood of then developing long COVID. Some studies have not found an impact of vaccination on long COVID. However, some other studies have. And I think it's far from settled. My personal opinion is I think it's probably leaning towards vaccination does give some reduction in your chance of reducing long COVID. And indeed, in our modelling, we've made an assumption that it might reduce your chance of developing long COVID by about 50%. But it's not settled, and they need bigger, better studies, really, to be able to settle this.
And as you mentioned, in terms of the modelling you've been looking at the States and the United Kingdom, who have had far more severe numbers, far more severe cases than we've had here in Australia. We have opened things back up a bit. Mask mandates are no longer in place in indoor venues here in New South Wales. And I can tell you, I was out yesterday and already I was kind of surprised at the amount of people I saw foregoing the mask right off the bat, such as it were. We're unfortunately also seeing a spike in cases here in New South Wales. In terms of the national reopening, what kind of numbers do you think we might be fearing at the moment? What kind of numbers do you think we might see if we reopen prematurely and start seeing these COVID cases start pouring back in?
Yeah. I think, look, first it's important to remember that we've actually had, you know, over the last kind of 5-6 months in New South Wales and in Victoria, we've already actually had, you know, reasonably sized outbreaks, which themselves will already have led to, you know, quite significant numbers of people developing long COVID. And in our initial modelling, we're thinking that those outbreaks, the cases that we've already seen, may well have led to at least 10,000 people or so across both Victoria and New South Wales having developed long COVID. But then if we look forward to reopening, well, if you cast your mind back, a couple of months ago, we were all talking a lot about the Doherty modelling, the modelling that they did, really, of trying to get a handle on how many cases might come as we go through the national reopening plan. And we actually used that Doherty model to then try and estimate what their numbers might mean for eventual numbers of long COVID cases. And, you know, huge uncertainty here, but I would say our modelling is suggesting that as we move into the reopening, I would say we're highly likely to see, let's say, tens of thousands of people who've developed long COVID that might last 3 months. And I think in a real worst case, this is nationally, not just New South Wales, but in a worst case for Australia, we might well see over 100,000 people who go on to develop long COVID that might last for about 3 months or so. Lots of caveats on that. One thing we know for sure about throughout COVID is none of the models are ever absolutely right. But I think it gives us a picture. You know, I would say, you know, the way things are going, I think we need to be planning for, let's say, tens of thousands of people who will be hitting the health system over the next kind of 3 to 6 months needing care for their long COVID.
Well, Martin, obviously, we could continue to unpack that one, but we will leave it there. Thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time on this morning.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.